Well, one thing I want to do, I got some books here, and I'm not a salesman. I build stuff with my hands. I paint houses, stuff like that. But these are books I got along the way. When I met Ralph, he asked me for a book. He said, is there any books you can recommend? And I said, yeah, the Bible. He said, no. Are there any other books you can recommend? I said, yeah, the Bible. And, I mean, I had other books. I did. I gleaned from other people. But one thing I found out about this man, he was hungry. I mean, you don't get on a plane and fly out to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and take your wife with you, and not knowing who you're talking. I mean, we met on the phone, but not knowing what you're getting into. And they knew what they got into when they got there. I did. I mean, it's good. It's, you know, when God calls you, you know, one thing about the calling of God, it says many are called, but those who answer the call are the chosen. You could be called, but still not chosen. If you don't answer the call, what good is it? And here he is 20 years later, walking in his calling, and his family is, his children are. You know what I mean? So what God called, he's equipped you. When he calls you, he equips you. But anyway, I want to talk about this. This is a good book. This is a, I don't know about anyone else. We're in a war. And you got to know how to fight. And this fight, I mean, I would love to think I could just go around and put the fivefold ministry on people and let beat the hell out of them and everything will be all right. And I know if there's any religious people here, oh, that's not how you do it. And it's not. I've tried it. Trust me. There were some demonized people that didn't get delivered. And, you know, they start foul-mouthing me and all that stuff. And, you know, try to take me back in my flesh. And guess what? They did. So, you know, I repented. I mean, you know, I asked God to help. But he said, Bill, I never called you to fight like this anymore. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to show me how to fight because that's all I know. I was born and raised in Philadelphia in a family of Irish people. My mother had 10 brothers. They were all fighters, saloon owners, drunks, alcoholics. And I was one of 10 children. So, and, you know, I grew up scraping my face on the pavements of Philadelphia, laying in puddles of blood through stabbings and knives. You know, when people think about Philadelphia, that's what they think about. And I have to tell them, well, you know what? It's true. You know, I mean, and not everybody got to go through that. I mean, it doesn't happen to everybody. But, you know, I got scars from, you know, laying in a puddle of blood ready to die. I woke up with a priest. They used to give people their last rites. I don't even know if they do that anymore. But I woke up out of critical condition with a priest giving me my last rites, and I was only 20 years old. And I should have been dead. In that very park, I laid bleeding to death. God raised me up to take a tent there for 10 days in the year 2000. And it's one of the worst parks in the city of Philadelphia. It's all drug infested. They put tents up there and all that stuff. And we were down there about a month ago, and you could see they were fumigating the streets. They all had masks on. They had a machine on, a truck. And all the drug addicts were there, and they had their tents, but the other people were, like, cleaning up the crap that they left behind. But anyway, we're in a war, and it's good to be equipped for this war. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And they are mighty through God, not through me, and they're not carnal. I think most of our fighting is done in the carnality rather than in the spirit. I don't think we've been really equipped to take on the powers of darkness. Most of us don't even know where they're at. I found out this along the way. I'm not trying to, you know, say that we don't, but I'm just saying most of us don't. And this is a book back there called Today We Fight, by a guy that's in about, I don't know, 20 nations. He's got an online school called In His Image. And about 10 years ago, well, actually, 35 years ago, I got a hold of this book while I was in a rehab. Well, I don't have it. It's called The Three Battlegrounds. 35 years ago, I was like in a rehab, and I was reading this book in a Three Battlegrounds. But anyway, in there, he made a statement. He said this. He said, age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. And for 10, 15 more years, I had never understood that until about 10 years ago when I picked the book up again. And I thought, what does he mean by that? Age and treachery. I mean, I couldn't find it in Proverbs or anywhere. I mean, I don't know where he got it from. But the Lord told me what he meant. Whether or not he meant it the way I got it from the Lord. He said, listen, son, age and treachery is your enemy. He's been around for thousands of years. He's deceived thousands of generations. He's taken down thousands of nations. This ain't his first rodeo. And you're not any different from Peter or Paul or Mary or anyone else. And, you know, so I had to step back and I thought, I got to need to know what my enemy, who my enemy is. But anyway, this is a good book that describes who we're fighting and how to fight them. So I want to recommend this. I mean, if they're back there, if you don't have no money, take it. I'm not in this to sell it. But if you want to make a donation, that's fine, too. Would anyone like this? This is another one he wrote. I'm promoting this guy. I never even met him. But this is something I found out that if I don't have, I'm done. And the Lord showed me that Adam, what happened to Adam in the garden, and what we're seeing today is a result of what Adam what happened. And what we're seeing today is what is called madness, insanity. Because, see, Adam lost his mind. He may not have known it, but I do. And, see, when we're out of the mind of Christ, you're carnal. You're enmity against God. You're his enemy. You're not his friend. And this book is called Spiritual Discernment and the Mind of Christ. And it talks about how to discern the mind of Christ and how to discern the enemy. You know what I mean? Like, our thinking is our trouble. The Bible says that we fight against thoughts. So, and I have another one. Well, who would like this? Here you go.
How you doing?
Thank you. Good. How are you? It's good to see you too.
I have another one here. This is the really important thing to have. If you don't have ifs, you're done too. No, I'm serious here. This is the virtue of heaven that Satan hates. If you can get this, you'll destroy the works of the devil. I kid you not. You know why? Because Jesus had it. And that's how, when he had it, the Bible says that God gave him a name above every name. Because he humbled himself. He said, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and God highly exalted him. You want power with God? God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of the Father. Something like that, close to it. But this is a book on humility. Yes. And because he says in Isaiah 66:2, to this one will I look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. See, this is a humility. We're to be clothed with humility. We're to have the mind of Christ. That book I just gave, the mind of Christ is humbling of self, not exaltation of oneself. It's a humbling of self. And it's not easy, but it has to be done. You don't even get grace until you humble yourself. Excuse me, I know some people are freely grace. You know, God gives grace. Yes, we're saved by grace, yes. But the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. Amen. So if I need grace to be saved, I better learn how to humble myself. So, I mean, when I was young, I thought like a man, and I did childish things, but or thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. And that's the whole thing about growing up in Christ. I'm not a babe anymore. We shouldn't be. We've been around. Listen, if I got the same demons as I do 20 years ago, actually, to be honest with you, I have more than, if I haven't been delivered from them, I got more. Because if they went out 20 years ago or whenever, and I went back, they brought seven. I mean, you do the math. If you got five demons in you and they leave, they go each back and get seven friends. Boom, you got 35 more. And then they get kicked. You get delivered again, you know, the next 5 years, and then the 35 get cast out, and boom, they go back and get another seven more. So here I am 20 years later, and I haven't obeyed the word of the Lord. I haven't grown up in the Lord. And now I'm full of them, right? Why? Because I haven't matured. I haven't grown up. I'm still babe. I'm still cardinal. And that's the thing about Paul, he did. But anyway, who would like this book? It's actually, this is a study guide on humility. It's called In His Image.
Okay, I'll get you one. I have one more, I think.
Now, this is another one that you won't get in unless you have it. And I'll tell you why. There's a scripture that says, there's a king made a supper for his son, and he bid all those who were invited to come. And he sent his servants out to tell people the supper's ready. Come on in. And they beat them up, laughed at them, mocked them. And then he told them to go into the highways and the byways. We know the scripture. But when they got in, there was a man there who wasn't dressed properly. But he was there. But he wasn't dressed properly. And the king said to his servants, take him and bind him hand and feet and throw him in outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth. And I said, Lord, I said, God, is this possible that I could wind up like this man? You know, he says, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they said, we did this in your name, we did that in your name. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. See, they never stop sinning. There's a belief out there that you'll always be a sinner. That's treading down the blood of Jesus. Because if the blood doesn't have the power to transform me, then why would I follow this King of Glory? Why? I mean, what good is it? So anyway, there's a story about that man. But this one is called Christ-likeness. We're to be conformed into his image, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So all this stuff about the image of the beast and all the devils coming and all this and, you know, watch out, you know, all this pandemic, this fear, this terror, step on it. Just put it under your feet because it ain't going to win. Now, the image of the beast, actually, in my opinion, my belief, is your carnal nature. It's enmity against God. It hates God. And that carnal nature is right here. To be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I'm not worried about someone sticking a statue up in Jerusalem. I'm worried about transforming and being conformed in the image and likeness of Christ. We're to behold him as looking in the mirror, being changed from faith to faith, from glory to glory. I'm not going to look the same when he's done with me, because I'm not the same when he started. And he who began a good work in you shall finish it. Amen. What he started, he's finished. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. So who would like this book? There you go. Yeah, I seen her. But this one... Ralph, I got a free book for you too, brother. Here.
I already have that one.
Oh, praise God.
That's that book you asked for, huh? Anyway, this one here is probably one of my favorites. It's for those who are unsatisfied with their spiritual life and willing to do something about it. Like he did. Like we all do. I know Ralph. I know he's, I mean, anyone that gets on the plane, he's met me, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, in Texas, Palestine, Texas. We went into prison together there. was a ministry I was connected with. He also came out to Phoenix, Arizona. He's met me out there, quite a few places. So, you know, if you're unsatisfied with where you're at, that's a good thing. It's really a good thing. No matter what the struggle is, it's a good thing. Because God works all things out for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So no matter what we go through, and sometimes Satan pounds on me just like anyone else. You know, what he wants to do is wants to steal that treasure in that earthly vessel. He wants to rob you, and he wants to destroy. The Bible, Jesus said it. The thief come but to kill. Everyone quotes that, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But they forget the first half of the verse. The thief come, Jesus said this, so I'm allowed to say it too. The thief come but to kill, rob, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Here, Seth, this is for you, my friend. This is called holiness, truth, and the presence of God. Walk with God. Bless you. That's about it. I have a prop. I told her I want to use this prop. And the reason is because it's really needed these days. So here's the prop. All right. Now we can have this. Some of us probably still need it. You know what I mean? The milk of the word. And it's good. He tells us to take the word milk. But, you know, it comes a time where, like he said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. And when I become a man, I put childish things away. I think the majority of our issues as Christians, not only is the carnal mind, but they're still babes. We haven't grown up. You know, in Ephesians 6, or 4, I'm sorry. Now I'm going to go into the Word. I asked the pastor what they would like me to share on and stuff like that. And they mentioned something. And I thought it's really important to what your concern is and what you would like. Because it was important to God. It was important to Jesus. It was important to Paul. In Ephesians 4:10, it says when Jesus gave gifts to men. It's the calling and it's the foundation of the church. And it says in there that when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And actually that's in Psalms. Who will ascend to the hill of the Lord? The hill of the Lord was a hill called Hebron? Yeah. When he ascended and he gave gifts to men. But in here he says that who he predestined, he also, hold on, huh? Yeah, forget that. Next verse, 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Now what I found for the edifying of the body of Christ. What I found over the last 25, 30 years is if you come to God's house struggling. I mean really going through hell. And you leave the same. You haven't been equipped. The word equipped means to arm. To arm the saints for the work. Of course, there's a fight. You're in a war. I mean, what good is if I send you out to fight if I don't equip you with weapons of warfare? And what I found out through hot springs and different places I went, every time I would go down there, I would leave with a case of books. I mean, I wanted it all. the Lord showed me their resources, what they are. And they were little booklets. They weren't, you know, like some of the little book. There's a booklet back there, a real good one, called The Accuser of the Brethren. It's a real little booklet. I'm pretty sure it's out there. But anyway, they were resources. They were equipping me. And I'm still in contact with these people to this day. We do conferences, different places. But the word equip means to arm. The same for the work of the ministry, because they're going to have to go out and fight a good fight. It's not just faith. There's a lot. I mean, hope is just as powerful as faith. You lose hope, you're done. We were watching this movie. What was it called? The 12 Orphans. Great movie. Oh, man. We bumped into it at the hotel. And I was scanning through to find a good movie. And she gets, you know, well, come on, pick one, will you? Come on, pick one. I mean, I picked one that was like $28. I think I'm not going there. Let's pick another one. But anyway, we picked one. It was called 12 Orphans. And it was a true story based out of an orphanage in Texas during the Great Depression. And the 12 orphans, they were football players. They were taught to be. Oh, great, 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 great movie. And then the one kid, he was very angry. He watched his father get shot to death. So he had some issues. He had blood all over him when he wound up in the issues, and it was his father's blood. But at the end, they told him, you know, you're just an orphan. You're no good. Never be nothing. All of them. But at the end, he recognized who he really was. And he shouted to them all that he was a what? A warrior. I'm a warrior. See, when you go follow this man called Christ, you'll be bathed in blood. He did. He said that he clad himself with zeal, and blood covered his garments. You'll have to fight for your loved ones. You'll have to fast. You'll have to seek heaven. You'll have to deny everything you see and not go by the circumstances and walk by faith when it looks like impossible. I can imagine Moses today. If he was here today, what he would say to us. When he was backed up against the Red Sea and there was nobody, no help, nothing, and Pharaoh and all his army was coming to destroy him. And he was stuck. And probably people of God were ready to probably throw him off a cliff. I don't know. They're like, Moses, have you brought us out here to die? Like, come on. Actually, the Bible says Moses cried to God. Cried out to God. It's a good thing to do. And God said to Moses, what are you doing crying to me? What are you crying for? Lift up your hands and see the salvation that the Lord brings you this day. They were baptized in water, and the enemy was destroyed. I think he said, the enemies you see this day, you will see no more. That's a good place to be. But until you get backed up against the Red Sea, you may not see that. Sometimes when all hell breaks loose, that's all we can do is run to God, cry out to God. And he just says, lift up your hands, praise me, worship me. But anyway, and here it says that they were for the perfecting of the church, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. Not the faith. See, because we're all still separated, the body of Christ. We're like bars. There's like one on every corner. I don't know where I was somewhere. I was like, there's a church over there. And look, there's a building over there. One block. And I'm looking at the neighborhood and thinking, is there not that many people here? For the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. That means mature. Not perfect. A lot of people, you say you're perfect. People argue with me and try to say, are you say you without sin? Because he who says he was without sin is deceiving his own self. But then it says, if we confess, that's before, that's like Timothy 18 or something. But the next verse says, if we confess our sin. They never want to go there. They probably don't even know it's there. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of what?
All.
So what does that make me?
Righteous.
Amen. Sin is not to have any place in us at all.
Amen.
But we don't know where it is, how it works. The works of the devil. It's easy for us to point fingers at, oh, that man, them drunkies there, them alcoholics, yeah, them prisoners over there. That's easy to do. You know why I know it's so easy? Because it's like looking in a mirror. It's easy to judge. That's easy. Because we all have that nature. But can I redeem? Can I get people saved? Jesus said, the works I do, you shall do also. And it wasn't a puffed up platform ministry he was talking about. They seek to kill him every time he had a crowd. He was healing people. When's the last time someone wanted to kill you or me? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that has to happen. It doesn't. You could just walk in. But it says in Luke 4, well, that one scripture, 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. That's good. That's what we want. But we don't finish that chapter. It says they sought to either throw him off a cliff or stone him to death. I don't know if that was at the same day, but it's in the same chapter. So, you know, Paul, my wife and I did a Bible study in Corinthians about Paul and what he had to go through. You know what I mean? Beaten, shipwrecked, all this stuff, and pearls amongst this, pearls amongst that. He even said pearls amongst the brethren. And, you know, hungers, fastings, you know, prayer. You know, he just went, and but it all, when I got done there, the Lord said, you'll go through hell. But at the end of it all, if you do not forgive, you'll be destroyed. In all these things, we are more than conqueror. Yes. See, even with the I learned that I really went through tribulation on this. And when I talk about tribulation, I'm talking about my flesh trying to rule my spirit. This stuff here ain't tribulation. Jesus said you will go through tribulation to enter in the kingdom of God. See, this stuff here is controlled by God. Satan isn't winning this fight. No way. And another thing, too, about government and politics, which I'm not in no way. If they ought to submit to the church. Amen. The church has all of, when Jesus said all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto you and I give it to you. See, that's the problem. The government's not submitting to the church. They want to play science. They want to play Pharaoh. They want to play God. But anyway, in here it says that for the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. How high can we go? Depending how low can we go. The lower we go, the higher we go. The less of me, the more of him. The fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. I'm drunk. You know? Children. Man, said. Yeah. Satan's always picking on me, Brother Bill. Oh, I got it so hard. You don't know, understand. I said, well, listen, have you been shipwrecked for a few days? You know what I mean? Have you been beaten 49 times and 49 less one stripe? I mean, you know, tell me your sufferings. Or are you suffering for the gospel? See, when you suffer for the gospel, you will go through great tribulation. But that great tribulation, there's another great tribulation that the world goes through because they reject the gospel. Jesus said that when those that sit at Jezebel's table, he said, I will throw them into great tribulation. I will throw them into great tribulation. He does it. And where am I seated? In him. We don't go through it. We cause it. And that's what's going on right now. The nations are being shaken because of the word of God. Somebody happened to get a hold of the word of God and speak it. But I actually believe it. And what happens is the earth starts trembling. You know why? Because we're getting closer. I don't know if I brought one book in there. I sent Ralph a copy. It's called The Day of His Presence. Great book on the return of the Lord. He says in there there's two committees in the church. There's the planning committee, and the planning committee are telling people how it's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to set up his house and bad wars, and we're going to be beheaded and blah, 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 blah. And then you got the waiting committee. They're just waiting on the Lord. Come, Lord, come. The welcoming committee. Yeah. The welcoming committee. So, I mean, you know, you see a lot on the planning committee. There's a lot of books on eschatology and, you know, the return, the rapture, and all this stuff that we bit into. And I know the church, a lot of people in the church, and I'm not picking on no one. Believe me, if I point the finger, start pointing it back at me. All right? We know the Left Behind series better than we do the Word of God. We've made movies of it. And we expect that's the way it's going to go. But it's not written that way at all. My King is coming in glory. Amen. And if you're not in glory, you're going to miss it. Because you'll be in sin. See, sin is not the mistake side. Well, sin is not missing the mark. Oh, I fell short. It's like playing the lottery. Well, I had them all, but I missed by one number. Almost got it. I missed the mark. Man, I almost got it. No, sin is missing the glory. And the penalty for missing the glory is death. The King of Heaven didn't shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for not to have his glory. The Bible says the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Not the knowledge of the coming of the Antichrist and Magog taking over Israel, blah, 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 blah. The knowledge of the glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. I get back everything I'm saying by Scripture. The seven trumpet sounds in Revelation 11. You know what happens when the seventh trumpet? Oh, I'm flying away. No, you're not. It says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. There's a global transformation by the glory of God. That's good news. And that's what happens is that David's presence talks about the closer he comes to this being revealed back in this earth, the more the earth is going to shake. It says the earth groans in pains, waiting for the manifestation of a son of God. Yes. You're looking at one. And I'm looking at him too. See, he led many sons to glory. He calls me son. I'm not a bastard and I'm not an orphan. I'm a son. Satan don't want me to know that. He don't want you to know that. You're a child of God. You don't want anyone to know that. But one thing I think we got to get through is that one thing mankind lost was the image of God when Adam fell. I wasn't born naturally in the image of God. When we tell people you're made in the image and likeness of God, we're lying to them. Unless they've been conformed into the image of Jesus, that's a different story. But they lost that image. That scripture wouldn't say that we're predestined to be conformed into his image. Whose image? Even the image of the coin. He said the taxes, when Jesus paid taxes. Now, I'd like to pay taxes like he did because he got the coin out of the mouth of a fish. But he said to them, he didn't say the money, the value of the money. He said whose image is on the coin. And it was Pharaoh's. He said, not Pharaoh, Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar's. What is Caesar? That meant he was talking about the image. And that's why we're to be transformed and conformed into his image and likeness. That's why I said that one scripture that the man showed up in front of the king's table or the king's supper and he didn't have the proper attire. He didn't take on the image of Christ. About a year ago, the Lord showed me in scripture in Ezekiel, either Ezekiel 34 or Jeremiah 34. Right before he says, I will take their stony hearts and give them a new one. It says it in both books, but he said, I will cleanse my name, which you have profaned. That's what he's doing. He's changing the face of the church. See, because we haven't presented his image. I can get killed for that. He can kill me. He'll strike me down dead for giving him a bad name. That's why I fear. His name is holy. And we are to be holy as he is holy. Without holiness, we will not see God. Now, how do I get that? That's the good news, is that's what he wants to do. Show me how to get it. He's there to give it to us. That's the whole purpose of salvation, is to become Christ-like. So we're to be conformed and transformed. And that's what it said, this equipping the saints for the knowledge of a son to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That means they're plotting, planning, coming up with ways to deceive us. False doctrines. Winds of doctrine. To keep me away from being conformed into the image of the king. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the body puts the body together. You know, I have this one teaching by some a good friend of mine, and he always says it when I talk to him. You know, Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." That's why he's looking for a body. See, Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the family, the husband. Until we grow up into the head, actually, I think it said to the match, one of them said to the head, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what the Father's waiting for. He's not waiting for the Antichrist to come, which, I mean, I can prove with Scripture that they were already there. And they were actually the one in John 6. If you study John 6, John, 1 John, where he talks about Antichrist will come. He says in John, 1 John or 2 John, he said, they went out from us. They were of us, but they went out from us. Well, who were they? They were those who, when Jesus offered them food and meat, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, John 6:6:6 happens to be just lined up with who they are. It said many of his disciples turned and followed him no more. Because this was a hard saying. They didn't understand it. They were his disciples, and they rejected him and didn't follow him no more. Because he had meat from heaven. He said in there, I'm the living bread of heaven. I come down. He said, your fathers did eat in the wilderness and are dead. But the bread I give you will lead you to eternal life. So here he was telling them, listen, this is the way it's going to, this is the way it is. Unless you eat my, and that's a covenant with heaven. That's the covenant. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He said in John, the life I give is for the light of life of the world. He said, in him was light, and his light was the life of men. Yeah. I'm going to go, I don't know how much meat I give you unless you still want to stay here, but life of the flesh is in the blood. How do we drink his blood? We take a little glass of juice. I know that's what's custom, or we're accustomed to. When he took the bread and broke the bread, he said, this is my body, which will be broken for you. Well, was it the bread or was it his body he was referring to? Because 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 says, always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord, that the life of the Lord might be made manifest through our mortal flesh. That is the manifestation of the sons of God. If I'm not dead in Christ, why would I rise? The dead in Christ will rise first. Who are they? People in the grave. No, that God's not in the grave. He's a living God. The dead, the Bible says, those that are Christ are those who have crucified the flesh and the lust and the desires thereof. They're overcomers. They overcome. And actually, that's what I want to talk about, the meat and the milk. And the meat is really for the overcomers. To overcome, you have to have something to overcome. And we got to know how to overcome. You know, like I said before, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are mindsets, traditions. Cultural traditions that we've been taught. Notice it said in there that taking down strongholds, every high thing that exalts itself against God. It's not out here. It's in here. All this out here came from in here somewhere. Listen, the world that Satan is God of is not this. It's not. This is the earth. And the earth belongs to the Lord. Amen. The world he is God of, he talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, the God of this world, Paul said. And he said, the God of this world, thus, here's what he says, comma, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, whom we all walked according to the course of this world. What world? Disobedience. And we're by nature children of wrath. But he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, called them. So the world that Satan is God of, it's not the earth that we live in. It's the world of iniquity that's in man, the man of sin. See, what comes out of us, even faith works that way. See, I tell people about my wife and I, we built a house about 10 years ago, but before we built it, it was a lot. And we came into agreement and we said, let's build this house. Bam, there, guess what? We've been in there like 8-10 years now. But it started with a word. It's like buying a vehicle. You see a nice vehicle and poof, I'm going to go buy that. Well, guess what happened? Then you're riding around. You speak it. And you agree with your word. That's what thoughts are, words. We got projectors going up in here. So Hollywood is just projection what's in your hearts. And the rest of the world, it comes out of, man says, I will build a tower to heaven. Man says, I'll build New York City. Man says, I'll build Beijing, Moscow. Because all that was offered to Christ when he was in the wilderness. The Bible says Satan took him in a moment of time and showed him the glory of kingdoms. And he offered it to him. Did he see Washington, D.C.? Absolutely. Did Satan offer him it? Yeah, absolutely. He offered him all the glory of kingdoms. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He was trying to offer the King of Glory and the Creator of all things, the very things that he created. Ain't that something? Talk about deception. And see, that's what deception is. Deception is believing something that's not true. Like, this is Satan's world. And it's not. And it's in the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. When he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. That's the world. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And who is he that overcomes the world? Even our faith. See, when you walk by faith, you're not walking by sight. You're not walking by lust of the eye. You're walking by the word of God. He sent his word to heal me and deliver me from any destruction. Because there's a way that seems right unto man when you're walking, but the end is destruction. I may think I'm doing good. God says, you're not all that good there, pal. You may puff yourself up, but I'm going to have to show you what real humility is. And he handed me over to Satan. Wow. God would hand me over to God. Could do anything he wants for the destruction of my flesh. And this is what happens when we reap what we sow. Satan's nature is destruction. So when we're reaping something that we sow to that flesh, when you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. It's what I sow. I'm reaping what I sowed. I mean, does this make sense to any of you? I mean, you know, I don't want to put you to sleep. I mean, Ralph told you I'm just going to let you have it. I mean, I'm not. I can't eat. I can't drink milk. It spoils anyway. It's just, I'm not. Our job is perfecting of the saints, building up the saints, raising you up to its new standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, by the way, that's what he's doing. Revelation 12 shows him, he opens his mouth and he spits out the flood at the woman. And what's it say? The earth does what? Opened up its mouth and takes up the flood. What that is nothing but propaganda and false lies to cover up the true story of the Christ,
Amen.
The King of Glory. Now, let me tell you why. The Lord gave me a vision about a year ago. And in the vision, he does that once in a while. I mean, he said old men will dream and see visions and all that. Even young men will get it. But the old men can still get the, you know, all the stuff. You know, because you become youth. You know, when you wait on the Lord, you become young again. So, I mean, this thing is eternal, man. It's not, it doesn't wear out. Yeah, I mean, but he showed me a little piece of a dirt land. And it started shaking. And then it starts expanding. Like it was a little stone, like a little thing. It just starts shaking. The whole ground starts shaking. And then it started like bubbling out. And this is like then it became like a football field. And all the dirt was coming out of the ground, wider and deeper. All the dirt was like popcorn. Like, not the way we cook popcorn, but that's the way it looked. My wife and I tried to cook old popcorn last week with our grandson. Over the stove, you know, with the heat on it, boy, we burned it. It popped out right out the thing, started popping everywhere. But anyway, but the ground is popping out, and then it goes deeper and wider and longer. I mean, it was the size of a city at the end of it. I mean, it was huge. And in the bottom, I don't know how deep it was. It wasn't a gold nugget, but there was just a stone there. And the voice of the Lord spoke to me. And he told me, this is a stone of stumbling. This is the rock of your salvation. He said, what mankind does is try to cover this up. We're stones. We're living stones. Jesus is the stone that the builders, that's exactly what he said. This is the stone that the builders rejected. He said what they did was they rejected him by pouring all the philosophies out, all the propaganda out from the tree on, all the lies out, everything Satan could muster to try to prevent him from manifesting and appearing to mankind. Make him look like he was a fraud. All the religions that came against him, make him look like he didn't even know what he, this is, that Christianity stuff is, boom, that, it's not true at all. Who would believe that stuff? And they poured all the philosophies of man, the psychology of man, all the science, was all the knowledge and all the stuff that was all dirt piled up against them. And he said, the increase of his kingdom shall know no end. And all of a sudden that stone start growing. And it filled this space at this ground and it started growing. And growing and growing and growing. And it's still increasing. His kingdom shall know no end. And that's why the glory of the Lord has got to cover this earth like the waters cover this. The knowledge of the glory. Not the knowledge of sin. Sure, sin's got to be dealt with. Sure, there's correction. You know what I mean? He told the disciples to go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to teaching them to obey what I commanded you. So the order of the disciples was to go teach people how to obey. The problem we have over a couple thousand years is they stopped obeying. Amen. So how can you teach obedience when you're disobedience? We can't. But anyway, in let me see if I can. All right, I went through Ephesians. Man, I put a whole too much together here. In Matthew 18, 1 and 3, they were bickering about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. I think this is Matthew. They're bickering amongst each other about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. It says, and at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom? Is it Billy Bob? Is it Johnny Joe? Is it, who is it? Who's the, is it Benny Hinn? Is it Benny? I mean, who's the guy that got the stuff? You know, who really got the goods? I want to know. They said, then Jesus called a little child. Hi, Daddy. How you doing today? I'm fine, son. How are you? Well, I'm just trying to introduce these people to more of your glory. Well, keep drinking, son. Keep drinking. Well, Dad, I don't know. I just want to. I know what you're saying. You told me the story a long time ago. It's been around for a couple thousand years, and they seem to have a hard time understanding it. What part of your word don't they understand? I don't know, Lord. I remember a friend of mine. I don't know if you ever heard of Thurman Scribner. Anybody?
Yeah, we have
his recording. Yeah, huh? Well, he just passed away about a month ago. But anyway, we had Thurman up in our area. And my friend Walter from Palestine, Texas came in. And we had a truckload of food. And the truck broke down. So Walter says to... he says to me, he said, hey, Bill, he was from Texas. Hey, Bill, he said, why don't you get Thurman to pray for the truck? He'll pray for it. He prays for everything. He's a walk of faith guy, man of faith. So I said, yeah. I said, why not? Let's go. And he goes over. He said, go ahead, Thurman, lay hands on that truck and command that thing to run. I said, okay, sure. Guy going to get it to run. So Thurman laid hands on it. He said, start it up. He said, Bill, he said, what part of all things don't you understand? I said, okay, let's go. He laid hands on it. I went in, started up right away. He said, Walter said to me, hey, Bill. He said, Thurman, he built all of his house by himself. I said, oh, yeah, that's nice. He said, didn't you, Thurman? He said, yeah, Walter, I did. He said, you did all of it, didn't you, Thurman? He said, yeah, I did. He said, you did the plumbing? Yeah, Walter, I did the plumbing. He said, you did the electrician? You did the mason? He said, yeah, I did it. He said, Walter, what part of all don't you understand? Well, he says we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The only thing that's going to determine me doing all things is whose strength am I moving in? I love the scripture where, you know, in Ezekiel it said God grabbed him by the lock of his head and drew him into the spirit, into the wilderness. That's what the Bible says. I won't stop God from doing that to me, ripping me apart for me to understand what his purpose is for my life. Anyway, in here he says that called a little child to him and sat him in the midst of them and said, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted." Now, I don't think I got a New King James, but the one says, "Unless you repent and be converted." But it says here, "Surely I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God." Didn't he say that about John the Baptist was greatest? So we need to become like children, desiring the milk of the word. But you know, there comes a time where we've got to put this about. And in Hebrews 5, I mean, every time Paul, like the cardinal church of Corinthians, they were cardinal. But Paul didn't throw them off. He didn't write them off. You know what I mean? And when we deal with people, I mean, sometimes we got the tendency to write them off because they're living in the carnality. And yet that, to me, I mean, that was like a babe. It's like they don't know. Like, how are you going to teach your children to do what you want them to do unless you show them? The disciples was called to go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey what I commanded you. If I'm walking in disobedience, I can't teach my children anything. But here's what it said in Hebrews 5. You know, Paul said to them, he said, you know, there's four. He said in verse 12. Oh, no, 11. No, verse 9. Let me go there. Let's go to 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to who? See, he's not saving the Pentecostal. He's not saving the Baptists, the Lutherans. He's not saving denominations. He's not saving America or Britain. He's saving all who obey him. You think he's going to let hell in heaven? Again, or, you know, rebellion, so to speak, in heaven. That's why heaven come to earth. He wants to purify you here before you get into heaven. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He come to set a fire. But look what he said here. He said, became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, I don't know a lot about this Melchizedek, but I know one thing. I was at did a meeting in Palestine, Texas one time, and it's late. It's hot in Texas, so I had a short sleeve shirt on, and I got this tattoo on my arm. It says MOM, or it says WOW upside down, or it says 303. But the woman looked at it and she didn't even ask me. See, I know what that means. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go now. She's going to call me a devil and I'm marked and everything else. And I was a little bit afraid because she did this out loud in front of the people that were in the church. And I thought, oh, she's confronting me. But see, I know what that means. And then she said it louder. I said, oh, God, I'm going to have to fight with her. I don't know. They're going to throw me out of here. I don't know. We're going to reveal something. I don't know. So I know what that means. You're a man of Melchizedek. I never heard that in my life. I was called a lot of things. But anyway, it says, of whom we have much to say, but hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk, and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, and that full age is not an old man. It may have gray hair, but it's somebody that's mature, somebody that's grown up in the Lord. And that is by those who, by reason of, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, you can't walk by your senses. Our senses are dull. They're dull. We lost our mind in the garden. Adam lost his mind, and so did we. What you see today is you got a bunch of insanity. Sound mind means a mind of peace. The opposite of a mind of peace is a crazy person. Insane. And that's what you got. You got the difference between the mind of Christ. Paul said, let this mind be in you, that which was in Christ Jesus. Is it possible I can have the mind of Christ? Nah, don't believe that hype. Don't believe that stuff. Them Christians, stay away from that stuff. When I came to Jesus, I seen Jesus on the cross, bleeding. Not that he was still there, but that's what division I seen. I was in a house we had in English Drive when I first come to the Lord. And I came home from being out like a alley cat, like, you know, and my wife made me sleep on the couch. And I was on the couch in the middle of the night. I woke up, I was sweating, going through probably detox from alcohol or something. I don't know what it was. But I seen Jesus hanging on the cross. Actually, my daughter had given me, maybe it was Easter time, she had given me a book of a guy hanging. The guy was hanging on. I forget what it was. This painter wrote it years ago. Beautiful picture of Christ, redemption. The whole book was. But anyway, I seen this vision of Jesus hanging on a cross, and I wanted to know about him. And I heard this little voice that said, "Don't go near him." Did you ever see The Wizard of Oz? When they find the wizard and he's behind the curtain, and the guy behind the curtain notices that they notice him, and he says to them, "Don't listen to that man behind the curtain. Don't pay no mind to him. Don't pay no attention to him." Well, that's what Satan does when he starts to get exposed. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to that Jesus people. Don't be talking to him. Every time Jesus showed up, they start talking before he even said anything. Leave us alone, Jesus. They're still doing the same thing. I hear it all the time. Leave us alone. Don't come and cast us out before our time. But I seen him, and when I seen him, it's a little voice on the side said, "Don't go near him, you scumbag. Look at you, you filthy drunk, you whoremonger, you liar, you thief." And I'm like, "Shoot, man, you're right. I can't go near." He said, "He's the Holy Son of God." I said, "Yeah, you're right." I didn't know too much about him. I mean, I wasn't religious, but... And then he lifted up his head and said to me, "Asked him what I'm doing here." I never questioned what he was doing on the cross. We just took what they told us. And Satan wasn't around anymore, the accuser of the brethren. And this is scriptural because it's in Zechariah. It's in Zechariah where Zechariah says, Zechariah the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan was right there to accuse him. And all his clothes were stained. So when he said, you know why he's not going to tell you why I'm here? Because I'm not here. I'm not doing that. I didn't do this for me. I did it for you. And he started revealing stuff in his word to me. And I said, okay, now how do I get him? How do I expose the thief? And he gave me a sword. It was an amazing journey. I mean, the vision was an amazing vision. I was given a sword right out of heaven. Just came down. Now, I didn't know at that time that, like I said, I was going through detox. I didn't know the word of God was the sword of the Spirit. I said, how do I expose him, all the lies that he's telling everybody and all the deception he's causing, all the trouble, killing people, robbing and destroying. And that's when he gave me this sword. He said, listen, he said, you do it with this. I didn't know what the sword was. I just knew it was a sword. And I didn't know how to use it. I didn't know it was the word of God. But one thing he said when he gave it to me, I'll never forget it to this day. Don't come back without it. See, God is watching over his word to perform it. And as long as you hold fast to the word of God, God will do what he said he was going to do. And it's going to take faith. You know, that if God's spoken promise of you, your sons and your daughters shall come to the Lord. And they actually, it's the truth. In Isaiah, it talks about the glory of knowledge of the Lord filling the earth. And it says that the Gentiles will come to thy light and get converted to you. And the glory I'm talking about is not sin. We told people, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. No, teach us not to sin. By the nature being conformed into the image and likeness of Christ. Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. That I would be conformed into the likeness of his death. Yeah, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about all the good stuff. But the works he did, the Bible says, the works I do, you shall do also. Well, what did he did? What was the works? It was the cross. He poured out his spirit after the cross, but he demonstrated the spirit while he was alive before the cross. Yeah, the Bible says he offered up his blood through the spirit, which are both one. So, I mean, it's an amazing journey. I mean, it has been amazing. My wife wants to share something, and I got this from somebody that I'd like to share with you on how it'll be. But if you will receive it, it's yours. It shall be like a little stream, just like a little pebble. The little stream shall become a river. The river shall become a great river. The great river shall become a sea. The sea shall become a mighty ocean. And it shall be through thee.
Amen.
So you want to?
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, I usually have a pretty loud voice.
Oh, go ahead, Ralph. I'm sorry.
So this week we were just in a lot of prayer together, Bill and I, as far as like what we wanted to bring to all of you, and there's just two declarations that I want us to declare over ourselves, as well as one thing. This last 18 months of the whole pandemic, I lost my mother at the end of October 2020. It wasn't COVID, and I made sure they didn't put that on her death certificate, but losing her, she was 91. Excuse me. So he was such a rock to me, I'm telling you. He who knows the suffering, what he's walked through. So he was able to lift me up and be with me through this time and love me. But one thing I said, Lord, where are you? Because I felt very distant from him in this last year. So I sought out the Word of God. My husband was my caretaker. He was my helpmate through this whole season. And I wanted to, thank you, babe. So I wanted to read this to you, and it's in Ephesians 1. So when you go home or this week, when you have time, Ephesians 1. But this is what came to me, and I just want to speak it over to you.
It's Hebrews.
No, Ephesians 1.
Okay.
So.
I'm just saying you're in Hebrews.
No, I know, because that's the declaration I want to do after
this.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, so in Ephesians 1, these came out to me like boldness, and it was just hitting my spirit. And he just wants to remind you today, as well as me and my husband, we are blessed. This is all in one chapter. We are blessed.
Say that.
We are blessed.
We are chosen.
We are adopted and predestined.
We are free.
We are purchased by his blood.
We are redeemed.
We are his good pleasure.
We are included.
We are sealed by the Holy Spirit.
We are God's possession.
We are enlightened.
We
have an inheritance.
We are powerful.
We have wisdom and revelation. And that's in one chapter of God's Word.
Amen.
And so I have literally stood on that for quite a while this last year. And So the other declaration that the Lord just prompted into my spirit again is in Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, we are a sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the one other one, so Hebrews 12:12. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people. That's not what's going on in this world today. So let's be different. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So that's my takeaway. And Bill and I are just humbled to be here. And we just love Ralph and Patricia. It's 20 years of our children growing up, 20 years, now we're grandparents. And it's just, it's wonderful. But because we have kindred spirits, that's why we were knitted together in love from the beginning. And Bill and I just wanted to thank you today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so light. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so light. of your promise. You don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. Your voice, your voice, and as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch a breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature so alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you so light. Let this be your confession right here. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. Everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I, so will I. If the sum of all the praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. Whoa, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. God of suppression, you chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned the darkness to die, to die, to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I can find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. Oh, a measure could amount to your desire. You're the one who never.